Good day, listeners. Jonathan Daugherty here with another edition of the Pure Sex Radio program. You know, we're a listener-supported outreach of Be Broken Ministries, and we exist to help individuals and families move from sexual brokenness to wholeness in Christ and equip others to do the same. Why is confidence important to recovery from addictive patterns? And how is confidence different from arrogance or pride? To help us address this topic, we have Dr. Eddie Caparucci back on the program with us. Eddie is certified as a licensed professional counselor and certified in treating sexual and pornography addictions. He's been on the program multiple times to share his expertise and wisdom in the field of addiction recovery. In our conversation, we discuss what confidence is, the causes and effects of a lack of confidence, what healthy confidence is rooted in, and how to grow in confidence. So if you're a man who wants to grow and mature in your recovery, I encourage you to take notes and apply what Eddie shares in this episode. To learn more about Eddie and his resources, visit innerchild-sexaddiction.com. For even more resources, visit BeBroken.org or check out links in today's show notes. And of course, friends, we love it if you share and rate the podcast after you listen, because this really does help others to find it. All right, let's get started with our conversation with Dr. Eddie Caparucci. Well, all right, we've got Dr. Eddie Caparucci back in the house. How's it going, brother?
It is going well, and I always love coming to your house.
Yeah, at some point I need to literally have you over to my house, because we've only sort of been in the sort of online living room, although we have been able to interact at some of the leadership summits and other things. So it's always good to get it. And hopefully we'll be able to do that again this year at the summit. Are you going to be in Colorado Springs?
I will be in Colorado Springs. Looking forward to it.
All right. Just as a little sidebar, listeners and viewers, and we'll be putting things like this into our show notes. The leadership summit is the Sexual Integrity Leadership Summit that happens once a year in different locations around the country for counselors, therapists, pastors, anybody that has a concern in this space of sexual integrity ministry that wants to be able to provide some kind of help to those who are struggling. It's a wonderful way to get trained, build relationships and network. And all that info is at sexualintegrityleaders.com. Well, Eddie, you're going to talk about something today, or you're going to introduce a topic that doesn't get really talked about that much, at least not maybe in a clinical space or maybe even in like the recovery space in general. And that is the idea of, or the importance of confidence when talking about recovery. And I want to understand, why has this been rattling around in your head? Why has this become a topic that you want to talk about?
Well, Jonathan, as you know, there's many things that are rattling around in my head when it comes to this. But, you know, again, what for me, it's through observing. I'm observing what is going on with my clients in their lives, in their recovery. And I keep looking for, okay, what are the weak links? And I've come to the conclusion that I really believe confidence is really like a pillar to recovery. And so why do I, you know, say that? I go, well, first and foremost, you know, if you think about it, Jonathan, one, if you don't have confidence, what that's going to do is going to increase your shame. Okay. And that, as we know, plays a tremendous negative role in addiction. All right. You know, because again, that individual now feels like they're a disappointment to themselves and they're a disappointment to others. Lack of confidence can lead to these feelings of uncertainty when it comes to your sobriety. If it's achievable, can I even pull this off? And so therefore, sometimes if you have a setback, it make it very, very difficult to be able to handle that. So therefore, the individual is going to stay stuck with it. The other aspect of it, and I think it's one of the most important parts where confidence is needed, is because without it, it really increases the struggle with the betrayed partner. Because without the confidence that you need to be able to stay and be able to help to relieve the emotional distress that is going on Without confidence, you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to be wilting, or you're going to be wind up being aggressive with it. So those are some of the parameters of why I've thought, okay, you know, it's really important. I think one other thing, though, about it is that confidence also is kind of correlated to addiction, because if you have a lack of confidence in your life, well, that's going to be what are you going to do about that? You're going to try to seek to fill that void, because it is a void. That lack of confidence is going to translate into the way I feel about myself, and it's not going to be positive. So now I have this void that I need to fill, and how am I going to do that? I'm going to do that by temporarily escaping into, you know, from those negative emotions, those negative thoughts and circumstances, into a behavior that is going to distract me, stimulate me, or numb me out. And again, use those time and time and time again. And then what happens is the likelihood of an addiction is.
Yeah. So let's back up a little bit and just try to get clarity on definitions. When you say confidence in this context, how would you define that? What are you talking about?
Confidence is the way an individual feels about themselves, that they feel a positive way of being able to interact with other people. They feel good about themselves. They feel good about their circumstances. They feel good about their self-worth. They feel good about their, you know, whatever intellect, their skills. And therefore, with that, there's no shame that's lying within them. And that's what I think confidence is.
So when I think about that, and I think about, okay, I go back even to my own addiction years, and then I think about all the men that we deal with, you know, I can imagine them hearing this and then saying, but Eddie, come on, man, let me tell you the thoughts that come into my head. Let me tell you the circumstances that I'm in. Let me tell you. So it can feel like when you say that it's about how they feel about themselves, that they're being pulled in 1,000 different directions. So what is the anchor? What is this confidence rooted in that allows them to be able to have those kinds of positive feelings towards themselves?
Well, first and foremost, again, you need to stop defining yourself and looking at yourself the way you see you, or the way you perceive others see you. And you have to instead look at, how does God see me? All right. Because yes, you've had failures. Yes, you have caused pain to some people. Yes, you have caused pain to yourself. However, if you're at the point where you have recognized and have said, you know what, I accept my actions, and I also have great remorse for my actions, and I would like to turn away from those actions and move down a new pathway. Therefore, then what you can lean upon is the fact that God loves and accepts you unconditionally, that your sins have been forgiven, you know, despite the fact that you're still hearing from people on a daily basis that, you know, you did this, you did that. But again, this is almost in a way, not that we're going to let what people say roll off us, because we want to take that in, because we want to be able to engage, but we can't allow that to continue to define us. Only our relationship in Christ defines us.
Yeah. So let's talk about, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, I want to unpack it a little bit more, of what are some of the things that can happen to a man that results in him not developing the kind of confidence that you say is really required for recovery.
Yes. You know me, I'm the inner child guy, right? So going deeper. It all starts with our childhood experiences. And in most cases, it is that overabundance of criticism that we receive, or perhaps the lack of affirmation, or even a combination of both of them, that again set us up so that we're in a place where we have our heads are filled with all these negative narratives. And over time, especially if you are exposed to this at a young age, Jonathan, you start to believe those negative narratives, mm-hmm. that I'm stupid, that I'm not lovable, that, you know what, I'm incompetent, that I'm a fraud. You start to believe those. They become part of your makeup because you have these neural pathways that are very, very strong with these negative messages that just keep bouncing back and forth in your brain every day. And so, you know, part of that part of it. The other thing is relationships, especially if you were surrounded by a lot of dysfunctional relationships in growing up, whether it be family, perhaps peers, you know, a lot of bullying perhaps, but more importantly, the sense that I don't belong or that I'm a disappointment. And another aspect of it is also, and this is huge, is the comparison. You know, we compare ourselves to other people, you know, whether it's their appearance, whether it's their athletic ability, their academic ability, the fact that they're funnier, they're, you know, whatever it may be. But even worse yet, is when other people compare us to other people. In a negative way. And we see that. I mean, how many times I've heard that from clients with their parents? You know, it's like, you know, how come you can't be as, why can't you get the kind of grades that he gets? You know, or how come, you know, why are you struggling in football? I mean, look at that guy. He doesn't look like he could be any better than you, but yet, you know, he got your butt running back and forth across the field. He got you all over the place. So therefore, again, it's the idea that when we start being compared to other people, we're going to have problems. And then I think the final thing, and again, there's a lot more, but the final thing I'll touch upon is a lot of times when we're younger, we don't have a lot of successes that we can point to, whether, again, academics or athletics. Maybe we don't even have a lot of hobbies or interests. And we don't have a lot of friends. So therefore, there's not many things I can point to that I say, oh, I've done that well, or I accomplished this, or these people think this way about me in a positive light. And so therefore, that's all of this that I've just given you is all this negative garbage that we have to overcome.
Yeah. So let's talk about maybe some of the guys out there that are married. If he's lacking confidence, in other words, if he's not having this sense of assurance and confidence rooted in his identity in Christ, what are some of the issues that both he and his spouse may face in their marriage?
Yeah. Well, if you look at what the bottom line is that there's going to be heightened conflict. And the reason being is that the lack of confidence instills fear. And because of that fear, that's what it's going to do. It's going to lead sometimes to men being defensive or perhaps withdrawing. And the worst is when they wilt, when they just sit there, their heads collapse. The woman's still trying to carry on this dialogue, this conversation, and he's nowhere to be found anymore. He's gone. He's just gone. He's been so overwhelmed with his shame and his guilt. One of the other issues they have is when they're trying to have conversations and dialogue is that these guys who don't have confidence, they're sitting here and they're telling you, I don't know what to say. I just don't know what else to say except sorry, 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 sorry. Or I'm so afraid that I'm going to say the wrong thing and it's going to even escalate to a greater level. So what happens with the lack of confidence is that this man cannot come before the spouse and be able to provide empathy, provide support, to give that, lend that ear, that it needed. It can't happen because you know why? They're so focused on themselves.
Yeah, you know, that's what I was going to say. It's interesting. There's like an irony in what you're talking about, because what I'm hearing you say is if a man has true confidence, in other words, if he has a real understanding of being made in the image of God and the value that that brings and what it means to be in Christ, there is not a self-absorption or a self-focus in that confidence. Talk about that a little bit, about the relationship between true confidence and actually a humble spirit.
Well, it's interesting. Like, the bottom line to all of this is that humble spirit, you know, that humility. I've always believed that, you know, when we look at, you know, the building blocks of Christianity, we first have faith. But the next one to me is not humility. I think the rest of it is a house of cards. But you are absolutely right. What happens here again, and I have seen this play out with many Christians, okay? And even those who are not dealing with sexual integrity issues, but yet the idea that they don't have that sense of confidence there in God and in their relationship with Him. So therefore, again, they feel inadequate. They feel unloved. They feel they don't measure up. They feel that He doesn't really care about them. Again, all of these negative narratives, and what they're doing basically, Jonathan, is they're projecting upon God how they feel about themselves, right? And with that, what you're going to wind up having are men who just will, again, back away. They are not going to make that commitment, just like the guy not making the full commitment to his wife to help her to heal, because, again, all that shame that comes in. It's the same thing here with trying to make that commitment to grow and strengthen the relationship with God. It doesn't happen because the fear that God doesn't want to have anything to do with me.
Yeah. So in your work with men and just trying to help guys out there right now that are saying, okay, I think I'm kind of starting to get this, and I definitely am a man who does not have this kind of confidence, what are some of the most common barriers that keep guys from either getting started on this or even just engaging and developing this kind of confidence?
Well, one of the biggest things that we have is what goes on in our mind, okay? Again, all of the negative thoughts, all of the negative narratives, that is first and foremost the biggest obstacle that we're facing. And what we need to be able to do is to calm that noise down. And we'll talk about that in a little while. We have to calm that noise down because we can't allow it just to run amok with us. So therefore, again, I'm telling people to, you know, you can't believe these lies that you're being told. Okay, we have to be able to take them and put them to truth. Jonathan, I forgot the rest of your question.
Well, just the barriers, like the most common barriers that guys have. Because one of the things I wanted to ask you too is when you think about these negative narratives, a lot of times in our ministry we call those shame lies, these things that are spoken over you. You gave a couple of examples earlier. What are some other examples of those lies that want to attack a person in their mind about their true worth and everything that's related to building this confidence?
There are hundreds of negative narratives that are there. Again, I don't measure up. I'm not good enough. I don't belong. I'm inadequate. I am stupid. I'm ugly. You know, I mean, you could go on and on and on with and trying to find, I don't belong. It all depends, again, what did you go through? What did you experience when you were younger that those messages were delivered to you directly and indirectly? Okay, it doesn't always have to be somebody saying something to you. It can be indirectly you develop an assumption. And you know what? It's really interesting. When you look at men who struggle with addiction, they're really good at making assumptions. And in many cases, a large amount of cases, those assumptions are not correct. So therefore, again, especially in the relationship with the betrayed spouse, when he's jumping to assumptions about the way she feels or what's going on, and they're erroneous, what, again, that just leads her to once again think, you know what? You are not taking the time to be able to slow everything down, think things through clearly. Instead, you keep running on those raw emotions. That's where you're going. And instead of using rational thinking. So that's part of the issue that we have also.
Yeah, I love, you know, when you said that about the not interpreting things well, it makes me think of, you know, a saying that I heard many years ago about children, because you talk about all this, so much of this being rooted in the narratives that got established in childhood, right? And it makes me think of the saying that says, you know, children are great observers, but terrible interpreters. So there's a sense in which kids are absorbing everything around them, but the interpretation may not always be correct. And one of the things that I was thinking of, and I'd like you to comment on this, is all of those negative narratives that you just stated and the hundreds more that can be part of that. Is it true that the reason that those have such a negative impact on us is because we receive them as identity statements?
Without a doubt. That's why I said we can't, when somebody is still, if I'm trying to build my confidence, and I'm talking about the fact that, you know what, I my confidence is built on the foundation of Christ alone. All right. And I know I've done bad, but yet I'm looking to amend. I'm looking to change my ways. And somebody's throwing all this negative at me. I can't allow their word to continue to define me. So you're absolutely right. That's what happens. Those negative narratives that we are exposed to at a young age, they define us. Right? If somebody keeps telling you long enough and often enough how stupid you are, you're just plain stupid, you know what? You start to believe you're stupid. And I've had clients who are like that, who sit there and say to me, you know what? I'm just stupid. And it's like, stupid. You know what? I don't quite understand. You don't hear that word used too often with people. But yet, that's what they believe. I can't grasp things. I can't understand things. I'm just not smart. But yet, many of them have very good jobs. They do really amazing things. But yet, underneath, that could all be discounted, could all be thrown aside because, again, that negative narrative is so powerful.
Yeah. Now, just even up to this point in the conversation, I'm sure there's a lot of guys, I mean, including me, that are saying, you know, this whole confidence thing sounds really hard. Like, so can you give me and the listeners some confidence that this is even possible? Like, is this an option that's available to us in reality?
It is. It's definitely possible. It's possible because, one, I'm living proof of it. Two, there are many men who have gone through recovery that have now become more confident in themselves and who they are. But also, again, the biggest factor of my confidence came from strengthening my relationship with Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, with that's my cornerstone. It has always, and it has been my cornerstone for the last 25 plus years. And I can always go back to lean on that. Because let's face it, you know, Jonathan, I don't care how confident we can become. There's going to be days that confidence level is going to be dropping a little bit. And so therefore, it's really nice to know I have this very safe haven that I can go to get replenished, to get refilled, to be re-energized. To know that I am confident. So yes, it is definitely doable. It does take work because what you're going to try to do and what you need to do is you have to shut down the neural pathways that have all those negative messages, and you have to now create new pathways that have positive messages.
Okay.
And that's what we're doing. We're trying to replace this ugliness with something that is beautiful.
Yeah, so let's dive into that. Let's dive into just kind of talking about through some solutions there, because I'm sure as soon as you said that, some guys are saying, okay, so Eddie, now tell me on a very, I mean, put the cookies on the bottom shelf, man. How do you do this in the day in, day out practicalities of learning how to live this way?
Okay. So let's start with the basics. Let's start with the first thing that has to happen. You have to forgive yourself. That's where you have to start. Because if you do not do that, if you do not forgive yourself, again, what you're going to build is going to be nothing more than a house of cards. And so again, how do you forgive yourself? Well, turning to God to understand you have been forgiven. Yes, maybe your spouse hasn't forgiven you yet. Maybe your mother-in-law hasn't forgiven you. Maybe a lot of people haven't. But you know what? You know that God has. And with that, he will give you the strength, he'll give you the courage to be able to move forward, that hopefully others will forgive you in time. So the second thing is accepting. I need to accept what I have done. Okay, I have to own this. I have to own it, all of it. And realize, yeah, you know what, I hate it. But you know, some guys want to take it and want to bury it in the backyard. You can't bury it in the backyard. It is part of your life. It's something that happened. Okay, it's over there. It can be out of sight over here, but at any given moment, you might turn to it because something's going to happen that's going to remind you of that. So you have to be able to understand and be able to accept it. The third thing is you need to be able to start to look at, okay, what are these negative narratives, which I believe our inner child carries and our inner child brings into our life on a regular basis? What are they? Identifying them. And then what a good therapist to sit there. And now what you need to do is to prove why. Okay. Why are these negative narratives true? Okay. Now you may come up with some rationale for it, okay? But yet, if I also take those negative narratives and I put them beside, you know, the way God sees me, most of them are going out the window.
Mm-hmm.
Going out the window. And that's the way we have to look at life. That's the way we have to look at ourselves. Because that's all that really matters, Jonathan. Doesn't matter how other people perceive us. The other thing that I think is really important in all of this is stop the comparison. Stop comparing your recovery to somebody else's recovery. All right? Yeah. And also be honest. Be honest and transparent about everything. If you start doing that, see, you have to start building up wins. That's what I tell my guys. We want wins. I want little wins. And as you continue to build up those little wins, you know what? That can give you confidence. So therefore, okay, I'm in front of, you know, my spouse and she is just letting me have it for what I've done. But yet I know, you know what? I've been sober for, you know, 11 months. I really don't have very much in the way of urges at all. I'm doing my work in my group. I'm going to my therapist. I feel much better about myself. I'm not going to sit here and throw that all at her. I'm not going to do any of that. But it's for me to lean on. And I know that God looks at me, that I am a prince of the king. With that and the work I'm doing, I can offset what's coming at me. And you may not even be able to always offset it right at the moment. It may start to crush you a little bit. But that's when you have to go off, think about all of it, and you have to recalibrate. And reset yourself again. And you may have to reset yourself every day at some point. But as long as you reset yourself in the long run, that confidence will get stronger and stronger. And I'll say this also, because I think this is really important. The confidence I'm talking about is not arrogant.
Yeah.
It's not arrogant. It goes back to what you mentioned before. It's about humbleness.
That's what I was going to say. As I said, actually, I've experienced this in my own life. I'm sure you've experienced this. As you grow in that confidence that you have in your position and your value before God, there is a sense in which whatever gets thrown at you, like whether that's the hurt from your wife or whether it's accusations from others or even the enemy of our souls trying to shame you for whatever you've done, there's a sense in which you can bear that up. And there's these counterintuitive things that are happening, that as my confidence in who I truly am made to be in Christ increases, my humility also grows. So that it, and again, it's kind of this weird, seemingly inverse relationship, but I love that you made specific mention of that, that this kind of confidence is not arrogant or braggadocious or like beat my chest and look at me kind of confidence. It's a confidence that's saying, because I know increasingly who I truly am and what I'm truly made for, all these things that used to crush me no longer need to crush me. So as we land the plane here, what are just some final thoughts and comments that you would want to give to men out there that are saying, hey, Eddie, I want to step into this more? What would you say to them?
Well, the first thing I'd say to them is the idea that you have to hold on to the fears that keep you from doing this. That's what it is. It's all fear. It's the fear that, you know, again, I'm believing the negative narrative. I'm believing the lies. It's the fear that other people will not see me that way. Okay. It's the fear that, oh my gosh, is there a chance that my recovery may not last? Okay? You have to hold on to all those fears. And you have to move forward despite them. Yeah, and this is really critical, because this is what keeps most guys from not moving forward. And especially when engaging with their spouse, it's like, you know, again, I don't know what to say. I think I'm going to say the wrong thing. You know, they're terrified. They're terrified. You can't be terrified. Because one, she deserves more. He deserves more from you than that. You deserve more for yourself from that. And like I said, I know we've done. I've done bad things. We've all done really stuff we're not proud of. Yeah. Yet that doesn't mean that we're not changing and we're not evolving. So again, look for those little wins and let them keep building up to help get you to that place. Because I got to tell you, confidence, real confidence, it looks really good.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, this has been a great conversation. Where can guys go to get more information about you and even some resources that can help them in this particular area?
Well, they can always find out more about me if they want to go to my website, innerchild-sexaddiction.com. Again, that's innerchild-sexaddiction.com. And they can also email me at edcappa@gmail.com. All my books are located on Amazon. They are the exclusive provider, distributor of those. So you can find those there.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, it's always fun to have you on and have a conversation about stuff that is meaningful and enriching to people's lives. So thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me, my friend. And God bless you, okay?
Yeah. Well, listeners and viewers, we are going to put a lot of stuff in the show notes to help you be directed to some of those resources that Eddie mentioned. And our desire is always to help you take your next best step to wholeness in Christ. So please reach out to us, and we look forward to seeing you back here again next time on the Pure Sex Radio program. Take care.